In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians about the virtue of charity is a very, very popular epistle. It has been read in the church for many, many years, and we must understand St. Paul's application of what charity really means. And he goes into great deal of detail as far as explaining why it's important for us to have the virtue of charity. Because faith, hope, and charity are the three virtues that we call theological virtues, and we strive after all of these. But faith will pass away, as we will pass away. When we have faith when we are here, when we leave this place and we go to Almighty God in heaven, faith is no longer necessary because we see God face to face. So faith is not only necessary because we see Him the way He is. Hope is the same way. We have hope in Almighty God and His mercy while we are here, begging and praying to Almighty God for the hope and hoping that He will give us the grace that we need to achieve salvation for ourselves, to be sorry for our sins, to be forgiven for them by Almighty God, to pay back to divine justice our debt because of the sins we've committed. But when we die and we go to judgment, if we pass the judgment and go to heaven, hope is no longer necessary because there again we are already there. Charity, however, is eternal. The charity that we have here, we will have in eternity as well. If you have no charity here, you'll have none in eternity. So charity is a very, very important virtue for many, many reasons, because it encompasses the two basic laws that God gave us. Jesus talks about all the time, loving God first and foremost, the entire being, because He is God, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself for God's sake. And these two things are encompassed in the virtue of charity. But we must understand divine charity is not giving money to the poor. Divine charity is giving the poor your love because in them you see the handwork of God Almighty. You love them for God's sake. You don't just give them money to help them because they're poor. This is a human aspect of what we call charity, materially speaking, but in divine virtue of charity, the application is very, very different. The money that we give them, divine virtue of charity, is our love and our prayers, our support, to show them the example of what it means to be chosen of God, to teach them by example what children of God really are all about. This is, in reality, the virtue of charity at work. If we do not live charity, as St. Paul tells the Corinthians, and he's telling us the same thing, if you sacrifice your life, but you have no charity in your heart, it profits you nothing. So you must understand that Almighty God must be first in our lives. We must love Him first and foremost, above all things else, above all people. God must be first. And we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves for God's sake. Because God created them the same way He created us, in His image and likeness. Therefore, whether they are sinful individuals or not, they still have the spark of God that He put in there, which we call conscience. And they still resemble Him, even though they have sins in their soul, and it makes them very, 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 very disfigured as far as their vision of God is concerned within them. It is still there, but it is buried beneath all those layers of sin. But it's important for us to understand that charity is very, very important. Divine virtue of charity is very, very important for salvation. You know, more theology talks about the idea of divine virtue of charity. If we live the divine virtue of charity, theology tells us, it is impossible for us to commit mortal sin because our mindset is completely different. We will be tempted, of course, but the grace of God through the virtue of charity will have us overcome the temptation and not fall by the wayside as far as sin, especially mortal sin, is concerned. So it's really important for us to try to have this virtue within us grow and become stronger and more predominant in our life. You say, how do we do that? Very, very simply, we ask Almighty God for the grace that we need to recognize ourselves for what we are. Charity, in reality, goes hand in hand with humility. They go hand in hand together. They work together. If you are a vain, proud, arrogant person, it's virtually impossible for you to be charitable in the divine sense. Because everything in your life revolves around you and what you want. You are the God of your own existence. If you are a vain, proud, arrogant person. For humility, however, puts ourselves in reality where we really belong, to see ourselves where God sees us for what we really are, with all of our faults as well as our good points, recognize us as what we really are and not to whitewash things from what we want them to be and hide other things because in reality God sees it all anyway. So the idea very, very simply is we inculcate or we imply to people the idea of humility, and we practice humility by the grace of God, because without God's grace it's not possible, as is the divine virtue of charity, not possible without the grace of God. But we must understand it. You say to yourself, why is this epistle on this particular Sunday? Because all is what is following us in the season of Lent is all about charity, divine virtue of charity, as far as God's application to human beings, treating them as his children, giving them an opportunity to recognize the importance of his existence as well as their own, recognize the importance of applying yourself to Almighty God as far as your day's works are concerned, to give back to Almighty God something as far as gratitude is concerned for what Jesus Christ has given to all of us, which is what? He came into this world. He became man in this world. He lived this world as a man. Two natures separate, remember, hypostatic union, two separate natures. And as a result of these things, he was suffering for us to appease divine justice for sins committed. And his sacrifice on the cross, where he shed every drop of his blood out of his body, was gone, was the fullness of his compassion and love for human beings. So we, as human beings, we must give back to Almighty God, even if it's only a token manner, to show him our gratitude for what he's done for us by sacrificing something and offering up to Almighty God, to show him, I am grateful, Lord, but I'm a poor, miserable human being. I can only do this much, but at this, I offer this to you with the fullness of my heart. Today's gospel is very, very simple to understand. The beggar laying and standing by the wayside on the way to the road to Jericho, the beggar is the human race. Jericho stands for the moon, and according to St. Gregory the Great, today's abbreviary, he talks about Jericho meaning the moon. And so the idea of going to Jericho, because they have not the brightness of the Son of God, which is the light of eternal truth, yet. So when human beings ask Almighty God to see, the way the blind man asked Jesus Christ to see, he is asking him, and the example given to us very, very simply is, we must ask Almighty God to see his truth. Because without the grace of God, you're never going to see it. Human beings in the world today live their lives, even those who call themselves Christians, even, sorry to say, those who call themselves Catholic, live their lives according to their own standards, and they apply themselves to what they believe in because it's what they want to believe, not necessarily what God tells them to believe, or they believe it and they modify it so that it's easier for them to swallow. In reality, you want to save your soul, you've got to do it the way God wants it done. You have to apply yourself to living your life the way God wants you to live it. Not the way you think God wants you to live it, because when you think about what God wants you to do and you apply it according to your own standard, you're living God on your own terms, not on His. He wants us to come to Him with a full heart, giving Him all that we have, all that we are, for His greater honor and glory, for the salvation of our soul, because of the love we have for Almighty God. If you do not have the love for Almighty God that you think you should have, you must ask the Holy Ghost to inspire you with His grace, with His gifts, to give you this ability to be perseverant, to be strong in your faith, to give good example to those that are around you, and to show the world that Almighty God is first in your life, above everything else, above family, above job, above everything. God must be first. Jesus Christ said to us, if you do not give up everything for me, you aren't worthy of having me. We must see it the way God gives it to us and realize that our test in this life is to put away ourselves and serve God the way He wants us to serve Him. And we ask Him for the direction and for the guidance by His grace to do so. And if we comply with these things and we do them the way God wants them done, we will grow spiritually and we will get closer to Almighty God, and the world will become more and more distasteful to us as time progresses. So pray to Almighty God during this last Sunday before the season of Lent, and ask Him to instill in your heart and to instill in your mind the purpose of Lent, the idea of Lent, the idea of not just giving back to Almighty God what is His due in gratitude for what He's done for us, but also in using it as the season necessary to fast and abstain from things, to become strengthened in spirit, to be able to fight off sin and temptation and the occasion of sin more successfully. Our Lord told the apostles, certain demons can only be driven out by fasting. So he's telling us right there that if you fast and abstain and you offer this sacrifice up to Almighty God, you will receive grace and strength to be able to fight off temptation and the occasion of sin more successfully, because this is the reason why we have the season of Lent in the first place. There's a twofold reason. First is to show God our gratitude for what he's done for us. Secondly, is to make us stronger against sin and temptation. So the idea, very, very simply, is what we want to accomplish here, not just through the season of Lent, but for the rest of our lives, is to remain in that place called sanctifying grace, where there is no mortal sin in our lives, and we are truly sorry for all the sins, especially the sins of our youth, the sins of our past life. And we tell God, you know, consistently that we are sorry for them. We want to make atonement for them while we are here to pay off our debt to divine justice before we leave this place. And this is the whole purpose of this whole season, is that I have twofold purpose. So if we understand it from that standpoint, it is no longer the idea of, oh no, here we go again, another 6 weeks of Lent. But it's more along the idea of, it's an opportunity for me, by the grace of God, to become stronger in my faith, to be able to resist temptation and in your case of sin more successfully, and to remain in that place called sanctifying grace. So pray to Almighty God, glorify his most holy name, and thank him for what he's done for you as far as this is concerned, and always keep in mind that if it was not for Jesus Christ, hell would still be closed and nobody would go there. I'm sorry, heaven would be closed and nobody would go there. Hell would be open, of course. Slip of the tongue there, sorry about that. Anyway, so keep these things in mind and ask Almighty God for the grace that you need to recognize the importance of it and to apply it for your daily life. And for anybody who has problem with fast and abstinence during Lent because of physical reasons, please see me after Mass for a dispensation. But I strongly encourage all of you, as much as you can, to abide by the laws of fast and abstinence during the season of Lent for the graces that you can receive because of it. Offer it up to Almighty God in glory of his most holy name and for the salvation of your soul by paying for your debt with the sacrifices that you make willingly. You shouldn't feel forced into doing this. It should be done willingly out of love and gratitude for Almighty God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for what he's done for all of us. So keep these things in your mind, and may you have a blessed and holy season of Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.